I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with painter, maker, mover, shaker. I'm not sure I got those in the right order, but she's all of those things. Danielle Brudo, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Floyd?
I'm doing very well. Happy to have you in. And off the top, correct me on the order of what I should have said. Painter, maker, mover, shaker.
I think that was right. It flowed nicely.
Okay. Well, let's go with that. What's inspiring you right now? Right now?
Mountains, strangely enough. I was in California, and that's the last thing that I had a sense of awe about, just mountains.
What about mountains?
I just think they're so, you know, they're large and majestic and awe-inspiring. They're... Again, but also I got the sense of sadness thinking about humans and our ability to mountain blast. It's like, here's these things that are so ancient and have been here and feel so sacred and emit such an insane aura, but we feel the need to, like, claw at them, you know, for our own weird benefit. So it's a twisted interest in mountains.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was this notion of you use painting to hunt.
Ooh.
And how you move through the world, how you communicate. What does that mean exactly?
I think hunt's an interesting word because I've always seen it as kind of digesting or like a manual thought process, but a lot of my earlier paintings were about hunting itself. Yeah, I just see it as a very, like, primal, visceral, honest material, almost like mud. I know this isn't really relating back to the word hunt, but there is something that, like, very animalistic about paint itself to me.
I feel like with a lot of your work or how you describe your work, a lot of your descriptions are very visceral and very visceral. That is the word. Yeah. Talk about that.
I feel like it's the one, paint itself is kind of like skin. I guess it originally was invented to mimic skin, or oil paint was, to like render human skin well. And as close to real life as possible. So there's that, like, visceral quality, but I don't know. It just has a life of its own. I kind of see it as its own kind of, like, mob, like, blob monster that I can indulge and learn about the world through. Yeah, I just have no interest in being clean with it, and I think that, like, kind of visceral shows through with that.
What about the world, the natural world, speaks to you more so than maybe cityscapes?
I've been thinking a lot about nature lately, and I think I mostly grew up in constructed environments, whether it be the suburbs or while living in the suburbs, but having like a focus on the city or the urban setting. And I think nature has always been more foreign to me than maybe a lot of people who grew up in the South, with like hunting or camping or, you know, adventuring outdoors in uncontrolled nature environments. Like, but my relationship with nature is very controlled. And so I think that it's given me a perspective of nature, like a kind of foreign land interest in it, but then also from the point of view of someone who's seen a lot of, you know, like capitalism kind of leaking its like sticky fingers into the, you know, the Amazon or, you know, any place we would see as a sacred and natural landscape. I don't know, that's kind of like how I see nature, like, as kind of very threatened. And maybe that's just from the outsider, but I think that's maybe everyone. Everyone's on that page now.
And so do you seek to connect with that more so now, or was that something that was more or less in your imagination as you were younger? If you didn't have that connection with unconstructed or untamed nature experiences?
I think that I don't connect to it as much as I should. I connect to it on an emotional and physical level, but I say I don't go out and hike as much as I'd like to, or like, you know, do that sort of thing. As a kid, I had with my friend like Mother Nature Club, and we would just walk around the neighborhood and pick up trash. So I just see my relationship with nature as like kind of kitschy and not necessarily like, you know, like a like earth maiden or like, you know. And I think that in a weird way, all of our relationships as humans are that. Like, there's something displaced about us in nature and our structures within any natural landscape. I mean, all land is nature. Like, we are in a city, but we're still in nature. And I think our artifice is a lot more noticeable when we come together than it is if we are, you know, like man walking out in the woods.
So as a painter, maker, mover, shaker, as you describe yourself, when you are approaching a piece, or if you're creating something, or if you're choosing not to create something, how do you tackle your own thoughts and focus on what you're creating in the moment?
I think someone asked me after the Cube performance what I was thinking in there, and I said nothing. And she said, I hate when people say that because I don't believe that anyone's ever thinking nothing. And then I said, okay, I guess I am thinking something, and that thing would be me like paint. So I think while I'm painting, my brain kind of goes into an almost like a meditative state. So I have to know kind of what I want to focus on. I don't know. There's different layers to it. Like, I like to just move paint around and see what it does when I do different things to it, like drop it from up really high or put paper on it before it's all the way dry and print it onto another surface. So that happens, and then images emerge. So there's kind of like a lot of breaks. But while I'm painting, I'm not really thinking about much of anything but responding to the moment in its pure form. And then the thought kind of happens in intervals, like of rest.
So take me through your path to Atlanta. I know you went to Parsons, mm-hmm. but before that, and even leading up to that, take us through your journey up to now.
I went to high school in Atlanta. I went to St. Pius. But before that, my family moved a lot. We lived in outside of L.A., in Dallas, and New Jersey. And my family's from Chicago, so I had that kind of mindset about wanting to be elsewhere or feeling like I might belong elsewhere. And then I went to College of Charleston and then transferred to New York, went to Parsons. And my family's here, so I just wanted to be near my family.
So going back to your time at Parsons up to now, talk about how your process may be different or maybe some growth in that. I know in school, things are often very technical and very process oriented. But as you transition from that, you have a chance to experiment more, maybe do some of your own tweaking of what you've learned. So talk about maybe how you've grown a little bit from that time up to now in terms of your artwork.
Yeah, I was really lucky. Well, lucky, I chose to go there. But Parsons was really great in that they don't really force you to specialize. Like, I didn't major in painting. I took a lot of different courses while I was there just to kind of learn how to build. I actually originally was accepted for fashion design, which is not what I even think about anymore, though I'm sure one day it's going to come up. But yeah, while I was there, I didn't think about painting too much, but I think I felt pressured to be something I wasn't, or that I was once told that painting was indulging my suburban notions of what art is. And I'm sure that can be true in some sense, but that's part of who I am. I grew up in the suburbs, so if I'm indulging myself, then like I'm probably doing something right. So I think now that I'm not in school, I feel much more relaxed and put less pressure on myself to be something I'm not. But I still love a lot of mediums. Like I did performance art there. Like I did the performance on Friday. I just let ideas come and then execute them, do what I need to do to get my ideas out of myself.
Speaking of those ideas, I like your writing. And I've been enjoying myself on your blog because I feel like you write. I'm not sure about your frequency, but I think your length. You write a lot more than a lot of artists do. Mm-hmm. And you have very strong opinions about your art, the art industry, just notions that inspire you. Where did that come from?
I've always written. I mean, I have like, you know, little me diaries dating from being in kindergarten. Like, we went to the ski lodge today, like some store in New Jersey or something. I think writing is, like painting, an important way for me to sort through thoughts. I think that I have a lot of intensity in me, as far as you're saying, strong opinions and those things go. And the times in my life where I have misdirected those are times that I haven't been writing and haven't been giving myself the benefit of, like, you know, constructive release. So, and sometimes my opinions, I turn out to be, like, too outrageous and I read through it and I'm like, that's not what I believe at all, you know? But you have to, like, get it out to be able to see it. I think that's with painting a lot, too, is, like, if I can read what I think, I can assess it in a from an outside perspective more clearly than I can just letting thoughts race in my head. And same with image making. If I can get it out and I can see it, then I can make changes and kind of be a more active individual, enact myself more purely.
But in your writing, I did notice that you talk a lot about vulnerability, about gender, nature. But more specifically, you talk about, or maybe you reflect a lot about your place as an artist mm-hmm. now in terms of your relationship to other artists or what you feel that art should be or should feel like for you. And I'm curious about how much time you spend thinking about those thoughts and what are your thoughts on maybe the relationship between artists and the general public and that tension point, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think artists are like the glue. They're kind of non-people. Obviously, they're people. But I think that they're the type of people who are supposed to and are called to be communicating with scientists and business people and, you know, the service industry and politicians. Like, we have the ability to relate to a part of the human spirit that maybe other people can't. And I think that, I mean, this is also just coming into my own age and, like, say, deinstitutionalizing myself, like getting out of college and cleaning my mind of my weird expectations of how the world was supposed to be when I entered it as a free person. But there, I don't know.
Well, I would just follow up on that with a question about you wrote one post about application fees, mm-hmm. and it started off talking about application fees, and then really started to delve deeper into how artists relate to the world and what their place is, and you talk about collaboration and how artists exist among one another and how it isn't so much about, I would say, celebrating the individual. Well, let me back up. I feel like you were saying that artists don't take enough time to really consider how they work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to elaborate on that a little bit more.
Yeah. And this is another example of, like, I agree with that statement, but I agree to it to a point, you
right,
know, like,
right.
It's also ridiculous. Like,
right.
There's so many, you know, and this is all too, I'm coming to realize, just like a mindset, you know, like, the dude that does horoscopes, like Rob Breskini, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's on Creative Loafing, but he's like the paranoia, like believing the world is conspiring to give you blessings, or like paranoia, believing the world's against you. But I think it's hard. And as a painterly painter, sometimes I feel a lack of community. I have close kindred spirits who are painterly painters, but you know, there's in Atlanta, there's a large street art scene. There's like a lot of scenes, and I think sometimes you can feel like, I want to play too. Like, I want to come too. And it's just like, no, that's not the type of work this is. So in my own opinion, that there wouldn't be certain collaborations with me and certain other people. But yeah, I get wary of, hype. But then I also know that's so judgmental and presumptuous to assume you know anything about someone else's process. There's just so many different processes and so many different ways of approaching everything we do. And like the quest for a pure art is a very confusing one, because what is that even?
But I think that you do a great job of acknowledging some of the inconsistencies. And maybe some of the either or-ness of what you're talking about in your writing, where you may make a statement, but then you can acknowledge that it may not always be that way. But sometimes just having the dialogue or the moment to think about what is important in that moment is sometimes very healthy.
Yeah.
So as someone who has grown up partially in Atlanta, but also elsewhere, what inspires you about being here?
I think there's a really great, and again, this is going to go back to kind of contradicting what I said, but I think there's a really great support unit here. I think people are really excited about work or about art, and just supportive. Like they want to see each other do well, and I want to see the city do well. I think that I realized when I lived in New York, I was doing a lot of paintings about like nostalgic paintings, kind of about like, why can't I think of this word right now? Like family history, like ancestry and inheritance, that was the word. And a lot of people are like, well, yeah, that's very southeast of you. And I'm like, well, I'm not from the southeast, so I wouldn't know. Like, but then I think I just decided that, yeah, like a lot of my spirit is here. A lot of how I learned, you know, just being okay with a conflicted history, like, and then with that feeling the agency to like be the person who makes a place better. I just feel like I can do something here, and in a city in New York or LA, you know, the last thing they need is someone else oversaturating what else is going on there. Yeah.
Talk about Yolk Space.
Oh, yay. Yolk Space is my house. I got the opportunity to purchase a home, and it's just me. So I'm like, I don't know what I would do in a house. I just felt like I would go crazy a little bit. And it would also need to be my studio, because I like to work at home. Cause I just feel more comfortable than working in a large studio environment. And so it had to be a place that was my studio and my house. And then there's just the storefront. And I've always wanted to, you know, make a space that my friends could show work. Again, the inclusionary. I mean, anyone can show there, but I feel like maybe there's not a gallery that's, like, painterly paintings, and that's all they show. And I'd like to do that. I just want to show painterly paintings, or paintings I like. It's a little like vanity gallery in that sense. But I have music shows. I'd love for people to just send me ideas if they, you know, it'd be a great place to like do an installation. Especially I'm going to Vermont in November. So it's just going to be sitting there. Like someone should build something in there or something.
Well, with that being said, Danielle, for all of our listeners out there who would love to learn more about Yolk Space or you, how would they do that?
They could find me on Facebook. My name's Danielle Brudo, or daniellebrudo.com, or they can just send me an email at daniellebrudo@gmail.com.
Danielle Brudo, thank you for your time.
Thank you.